All stand and turn to 143. Pastors, I was sitting here for a little bit of his Sunday school, talking about Bethlehem a little bit. And Jesus was kind of like me. I don't know why we had to move out of Texas, but, you know, people used to think I was a liar. You know, when I joined the Navy, they go, well, I'm from Texas. And I go, I'm from Texas. I was born in El Paso, Texas, and Fort Bliss. And, you know, they said, I'm from Iowa. I'm from Iowa, you know. Then my dad moved into Arizona. Well, I'm from Arizona. They go, well, you ain't nothing but a liar. Jesus was from Bethlehem, from Nazareth, from Egypt.
That's right.
Yeah, sometimes we have to move around. Now I'm from Arizona. 143, O little town of Bethlehem. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, angels keep their watch of love. Wondering love. Oh, morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear can hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, here Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Amen. As we remain standing, I'm going to ask Brother Roger DeLisle, if he will, to lead us in our prayer this morning. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And it's good to see all of you this morning. Appreciate those of you that were in Sunday school. And we have quite a number that have come in for our church service today. And it's just good to be in the house of the Lord, fellowshipping with God's people. And we've got a great day here. We're getting into the Christmas spirit now. And we have lots of visitors with us in our congregation. We appreciate your being here and hope you enjoy our service today. That was a real good singing. I'm enjoying these Christmas carols. I'm glad that in our churches we can still sing Christmas carols, and we can still say that it's Christmas instead of having to say Happy Holidays or something like that. Amen? All right. Brother Buddy, come back and lead us again.
I forgot to mention the place Jesus was from, one of the places.
Where?
Heaven.
Really?
Yeah, he came down from heaven as a gift from God. Then he was a Bethlehemite. Yeah. Then he was an Egyptian. Then he was a Nazarite.
Then he went back home.
Yeah, then he went back home. Amen. Amen. All right, 133. Oh, come all ye faithful. Come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. O Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appear. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Brother Johnny, did you bring a song today? All right.
Good morning, everyone. Amen. Hey, you know what? This is time of year that everyone thinks upon our Lord Jesus Christ as the babe in the manger. But you know what? I don't think about him that way anymore. I think of him as my Lord and Savior. Amen, my King. And you know what? I don't think about him that this time of year. No, I think about him from 01 January to 31 December. Amen. Always and continuously. This doesn't faze me because he's in my heart rejoicing all the time. You know what? God in his mercy gave his only begotten son as a gift to us, to the world. But you know what? He also in his mercy gave us to his precious son as a gift for him. Please, Sister Barbara.
Dear Jesus, I love you. yes, I do. Oh, see my Lord one day. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Praise God, eat by
faith. Let's all stand, and we're going to sing the whole Christmas story, the first Noel. If you ever get a chance to sit down and read just the verses, this is a beautiful poem, and it starts out the first Noel about the shepherds, who the Noel was about. Number 131, the first Noel. We'll sing all six verses. Just in case someone doesn't know the Christmas story, just let them read this song. It tells the whole thing.
First, who's Noel?
Noel?
Yeah.
No, it's Noel.
Oh, it
yeah, that's a guy down south of Austin.
I didn't know that.
No. No, Noel. I guess Noel must be Greek or something, right?
I don't know. We used
I thought it was Christmas.
Kind of congregation with that name.
Yeah? Yeah. No? No? Huh? Noel means no water, he said. Yeah. Yeah. Different interpretations. I don't know. I always thought it just meant Christmas, the first Christmas. Noel. Here we go. The first is Noel. The angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay, keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, he'll know well, Noel, Noel. Born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far. And to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. Noel, he'll know well, Noel, Noel. Born is the and by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far to see he for a king was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. Noel, he'll know well, Noel, Noel. Born is the King of Israel. This star drew nigh to the northwest, over Bethlehem it took its rest, and there it did both stop and stay, right over the place where Jesus lay. Noel, hell, Noel, Noel, Noel. Born is the King of Israel. Then in entered in. Those wise men three, full reverently upon their knee, and all offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense. Noel, El Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord, that hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind hath bought. Noel, El Noel, Noel.
In prayer this coming week for Brother Roger, this one over here, not this one. Got two Rogers today up here. Yeah, the senior one. He's going to have a knee replacement. Isn't that wonderful? On the 19th. Yeah. All right. That'll give you time to prepare for it. Then he'll have a brand new one. He can play football again. All right. Brother Roger Evans, will you lead us, please, in prayer?
Father, again, quiet our hearts, Lord, as we gather together to sing praise unto you, knowing the reason for this season. Father, we thank you for this time of offering that we can use it, not only in this corner, but mission fields around the world that we do support. Father, we do think of Roger and his upcoming operation, Lord, that you have trained all the doctors, the knowledge is, and tools that they need. Give him the things that he needs to provide him to continue to serve you in this place. Father, we thank you again. We add all the thanks and praises to you on this day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Song. What page is that on? 521. Let's all get our hearts in tune. And 521. Jesus is very near. I love that song. Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near, where troubled soul, the Savior can see. Every heartache and tear, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Would like to just sing. Pastor's going to preach on three things Christian needs. All I need is a wall of prayer. That's all. I just want everyone to continue to pray for us while we make our transition. I know a lot of you guys are praying that we don't make that transition. You know? Alice had scratch marks all the way to Arizona and skid marks all the way back to San Diego. So, you know. So anyway. Anyway, we'll see what the Lord has in. You never know where the Lord wants you to be. You know, it's like the people that went out in the wilderness, you know, and they left Egypt and all the comforts of home. Well, sometimes there might be something better, milk and honey on the other side. But you got to work for it, I think. But I just need a wall of prayer. I build a lot of walls, but I would like a wall of prayer.
Made by man, built by frail human hands, that an enemy can scale and get to you. But there's one protecting me from my greatest enemy. It's a wall that Satan can't break through.
Sometimes a wall of praise, sometimes a wall of pain, other times it's sweet mercy that I need. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me.
Oh, my brother, when I'm weak, would you stand instead for me and pray a fortress round me strong that can't be moved? And I promise you today, when I bow my knees to pray, I'll do my best to build a wall of prayer for you.
Sometimes a wall of grace, sometimes a wall of faith, other times it's sweet mercy that I need. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet. It makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me.
I need a
wall of prayer surrounding me.
Merry Christmas, and I'll be praying for you guys too.
Open your Bibles this morning to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Back in the days of the prophet Elisha, he was the sidekick of Elijah, you know. After Elijah went to heaven, Elisha took his cloak and continued his ministry. He was, Elisha at that time was living around the Mount Carmel area of Israel, and he was teaching one of the professors in the School of the Prophets, which was off down by the Jordan River. And as he made his trek from the Jordan River to Mount Carmel, he passed through a little town there in Galilee that was known as Shunem, S-H-U-N-E-M, Shunem. Shunem is about 15 miles south and west of the lower end of the Sea of Galilee. Picture this in your mind on the map. And to get to the Jordan River, it's about 15 miles west of the Jordan River. In this little town of Shunem, it was a farming community. There was a farmer and his wife who lived there, had a little house. And every time that Elisha made his journey from one place to the other, from Mount Carmel to Jordan and back, he always passed through Shunem. And these were fine, upstanding, God-fearing Christian people, this man and his wife. And he would stop there at their invitation, and they would prepare a meal for him. He would stay there and fellowship with them, take his meal, then continue his journey, whichever direction he happened to be going at that time. Now, one day, this lady, she said to her husband, she said, "Elisha is our friend. Let's build a room here on our house and furnish it for him so that when he comes by here, he'll have a place to rest. And it being his room, it'll be the prophet's chamber, and he can go in there and have some privacy and lay down and rest or read or whatever he wants to do." So the husband was agreeable to this. They set about and built another room onto their house and furnished it for him. That's what we're going to read about here in verse 8 of 2 Kings chapter 4. "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, 'Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make him a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there. Now notice these four things that they're going to furnish this room with. A bed, and a table, and a stool, a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Verse 11. So anyway, he's using it. I want you to notice the four things that this Shunammite woman and her husband furnished this prophet's chamber with. A bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. First was the bed. I'm pretty sure it was not a fancy bed. They were probably country folks, and they weren't that fancy. But it was practical. Had a good mattress on it, a pillow, and some sheets to cover with. A bed speaks of rest, doesn't it? When we get tired, we can lay down on the bed and rest for a little while. And when we think of rest, we think of the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Rest. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So every Christian needs a bed. Every Christian needs a place of rest. And Jesus invites us, "Come unto me and rest." So he becomes our bed, so to speak, that we can rest upon. This is not new for the Lord. He had said to Moses back in Exodus 33, verse 14, God said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Now, there's a rest that people can take when they get tired from toiling, from working. They come in exhausted, and they just have to sit down and get their breath, so to speak, and get refreshed through rest. There's also a rest of laziness. We're not going to talk about that too much because it gets personal. But there's a difference. One is a rest from the toils and the struggles of the day. The other one is rest just because you don't want to do anything. When I think about rest, I think of the rest of salvation. I think of the rest of trusting and the rest of assurance in Christ. And I think of the rest of hope, and that's just to name a few. Speaking of beds, and this doesn't have anything really to do with this, but years ago, back in 1950, back in the 40s, God saw fit to save an old Wyoming cowboy He was about 6'3", and all during his ministry, he always wore high-heeled cowboy boots, which lifted him up about this much taller than he really was. And he always wore that old cowboy hat, a big old white 10-gallon Stetson. And that made him stand even taller. With his boots and his hat, I'm sure he was nearly 7 feet tall. And his name was Harvey Springer. He was an evangelist pastor out of Colorado, near Denver up there. And he had a favorite message that he liked to preach everywhere that he went. And it was called, A Short Bed and Scanty Covers. He got the text, I've forgotten now where it is, but it says, the scripture is, oh here it is, Isaiah 28:20. A bed shorter than that a man can stretch himself on, get the idea, and a covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. So he preached on, did you ever preach that?
No.
Short beds and it's a good evangelistic message. You'll work up a sermon on that, I bet. I've forgotten his points. But anyway, you can't get much rest on a short bed, can you? Just like a lot of people can't get much peace and rest because their faith is too small. A bed, a place of rest. Now the second item that they put in there was a table. It would have been a strange room with just a bed in it. You'd think, well, it's a bedroom. Now we're going to put a table in there. We're going to make a dining room out of it, aren't we? A table can be used for a lot of things. We used to get together and play dominoes on the dining table. Checkers, you know, things like that. Play games on it. But mainly, a table was for eating. That's where you put the food, and when Mama called, we all gathered around the table and we ate together. So, he's got a table in his room. Now, a table speaks of fellowship, doesn't it? Because usually you don't sit down by yourself at the table to eat. You wait for the whole family to be gathered around the table. So it's a symbol of fellowship that we have with Christ. You'll remember that after his resurrection from the dead, some of his disciples had gone fishing. And Jesus was on the shore, and he called out there and started a conversation with them. Did you catch any fish? No, they'd fished all night, hadn't caught any fish. Sure, they were hungry. And Jesus gave them another invitation. He says, come and dine. And they came to shore, and they sat down, and he had some fish already fried up for them there. Come and dine. That's in John 21, verse 12. Later on, there was a fella touched by the Holy Spirit of God. I believe he was inspired to do this. His name was C.C. Widmeyer. And he was inspired by that verse of Scripture that says, come and dine, that he wrote a song about it. And guess what he entitled it? Come and Dine. And it goes something like this. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Then the chorus says, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Fellowship with Christ reminds us of the scripture that Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, where he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Fellowship with Christ. You'll remember too that David in the 23rd Psalm, verse 5, he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Table for fellowship. So now in this room we have a bed and we have a table. But how about a place to sit down? My mama would never let us sit on the bed. The table's too high to sit on. So they made a stool for him and furnished his room not only with a bed and a table, but with a stool. Now, I'm sure that his stool was not as comfortable as your lazy boy chair, but at least he had a place to sit down. But a stool in the Bible is a symbol of instruction from Christ. For we all may sit at his feet and learn of him. Jesus was going through Bethany just outside Jerusalem one day, and he stopped off at the house of his friends Lazarus and Lazarus's sisters Martha and Mary. And you'll remember that Martha was in the kitchen. Boy, she was in there fixing them up a meal. She knew those guys would be hungry. And Mary, that lazy sister of hers, she wasn't helping her. And she was in there throwing dishes around and making noise and such as that in her frustration. Where was Mary? Why, she was in there sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And after a while, Martha just couldn't stand it anymore. She went in there and she says, Mary, get your lazy self in here and help me in the kitchen. And Jesus said, let her alone. She's chosen the best part. What's she doing? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he has to say. She heard his word. Jesus has an invitation for us. He says, come and learn of me. Learn of me. And many, many times in the Gospels, the scripture says, Jesus taught them, saying, he's the teacher, we're the pupils, we sit at his feet on the stool and listen to every word that comes out of his blessed mouth. Why? He taught them in the temple. He taught them in the synagogues. He taught them in the streets and in the marketplaces. He taught them on mountaintops and out in the fields. He taught them in their homes. And he taught them along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And one time there's so many of them, and they all wanted to hear, so they were all, the whole crowd's pushing forward and forward. First thing you know, Jesus looked down, and he's nearly knee-deep in the water. And he, some guys in the boat out there, and he said, hey, come on up here. And they came up there, and he got in the boat. He said, pull out here a little ways. And they did. And he sat in the boat, and he taught the multitudes. He used every opportunity he had to teach the people. His students were the disciples. His followers, they were learners. all the way from Nicodemus, the ruler of the synagogue, all the way down to Zacchaeus, that Jericho publican that had to climb a tree to get to Jesus. Oh, there's many, many, many things to be learned. Do you ever notice that? Our entire life seems to be an experience of learning. The fear of the Lord is learned. The ways of the Lord are learned. The statutes of His law and the doctrines of His word, all these are to be learned. We need a stool to sit at Jesus' feet and learn. It's very important for us as blood-bought, blood-washed saints of God that we should assemble ourselves every opportunity in church and in Sunday school where we can sit at the feet of men of God to be taught the things of God from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit of God as He ministers to our individual needs. Deuteronomy 33, verse 3. Yea, He loved the people. All His saints are in Thy hand, and they sat down at Thy feet. Every one shall receive of Thy words. So God is still looking for people today who will learn of Me. Learn of Me. All right, the next thing that was in there was a candlestick. Because they knew that sometimes when Elisha came through there, it might be nighttime, dark, and he would enter into the room and it would be so dark he couldn't see. He couldn't see the bed. He couldn't see the table. He couldn't see the stool. And if he walked in the dark, he'd stumble and fall, wouldn't he? So they said, we need to get him a candlestick. They didn't have electricity back then. They didn't even have coal oil lamps. But they had candles. And where do you put a candle? On a candlestick. So that it will give light in the house. Now, what could a candlestick be a symbol of but the testimony that we have for Jesus Christ? Look at the scripture, Matthew 5:14, where Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." What does the light do? It shines. It illuminates. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see." Now you can talk and they can hear you in the dark. But if you're talking, you're boasting. But if you see, you're learning. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They may see your good works. I'd rather see somebody's good works than to hear about them. Somebody can tell you what they're doing, but I like to see it firsthand, don't you? Because the good works are like a light. You can see them. That's why Paul said over in Titus chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "Be careful to maintain good works because you're a light. Let your light shine so they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let them that love Him be as the sun when He goeth forth in His might." If you love the Lord, let your light shine. Be as the sun. Ephesians 5:8, Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And all of these, it refers to our testimony, does it not? Jesus said of Paul in Acts 13:47, he says, Paul, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Brother George Poole used to pastor this church, died last year. He had a favorite verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. It was this, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Amen. This world is dark, and it's getting darker every day. The lights are going out. You and I need to turn the wick up on ours and let our lights shine. So every Christian should have a bed, rest in Christ. He should have a table, fellowship with Christ. He should have a stool, instruction from Christ, and a candlestick, a testimony for Christ. Now, not only are these four things symbolic or illustrative of what a Christian needs, but the order in which they are presented is also suggestive. Look at this. Notice the progression. Rest in Christ, the bed, is essential in order to have fellowship with Him. And fellowship with Him is a qualification for instruction from Him. And instruction from Him is essential for us to have an effective testimony for Him. So every Christian ought to have these four things in his life. Do you have a bed? Do you have resting faith in Him that gives peace to your heart and to your life in these troubled times? Do you have a table? Are you in constant communion with Him? Do you have an unbroken fellowship with Him through an ungrieved Holy Spirit? Do you have a stool? Are you constantly and continually learning more about Jesus from His Word? The more you know Him, the more you love Him. And the more you love Him, the more fervently you will serve Him. Do you have a candlestick? Yes, you do. It may be dim sometimes, and sometimes it may be put under a bushel or even under a bed. If your life isn't bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ by your works, then you need to put your candle on a candlestick that it may give light to all that are in the house, Matthew chapter 5. So if you have these four items in your life, you will become what Jesus says, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you'll remember back in Revelation chapter 1, this is another sermon, but I'll give you an idea. You can read it this afternoon. Candlesticks, Revelation 1, are churches. Churches. And Jesus is said to walk in the midst of His churches. And the candlestick at Ephesus left its first love. the light went out. So don't let the lights go out, okay? Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. When I have an invitation, somebody's here this morning, may need to come and say, Lord, I need a bed in my room. I need a table in my life, a stool, a candlestick, whatever it may be. God's in the giving business. He'll give it to you if you'll ask him.
Page 497.
497. Recognize that tune just as I am without one plea. Will you come? Throw yourself completely upon the mercy of the Lord. Will you come today? Thank you. You've been a wonderful congregation today. Thank you for coming out. We're going to be speaking tonight. What's my sermon about tonight? Look at it, tell me, and I'll make the announcement.
The Bible, God's gift.
The Bible, God's gift. That's a good one. Yeah, I remember working that one up. I think you'll enjoy it tonight. I'll refresh myself from the notes this afternoon, and we'll be ready to talk about the Bible, God's gift, tonight. 6 o'clock. Don't forget it. Now, we're getting into the Christmas season. This is already the second Sunday of this month. I can't believe that. Second Sunday of December already. And we're going to be, did you see that list of birthdays and anniversaries in there? If everybody that had a birthday and anniversary is here tonight, we're going to fill that place up back there what do we have? Ice cream and cake, it used to be. And, you know, evolution. It evolves into soup and sandwiches and steak and fried chicken and who knows what else. But anyway, we'll be celebrating those birthdays and anniversaries tonight after the close of the service. I pity people that have birthdays so close to Christmas. I'm one of them. But mine is worse than yours if yours is before Christmas, because mine is after Christmas. And after Christmas, nobody has any money for birthday presents. Anyway, pray for our services. We're teaching Deuteronomy on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. And next week, after I preach in the morning, my wife and I are going to be hitting the road for Riverside. Can you imagine that? Right after Sunday morning services, Sam said he'd be around that night, so he's going to be around to preach to you. And then he and Betsy are going to a place called Brazil Monday. They're going to be down there for 3 weeks. They have to be down there to get their money's worth, because he was telling me how much those visas cost to go from here to Brazil. That's just the paperwork. That's not even the airplane fare or anything like that.
I'm thinking that it just got too cold in San Diego. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Down to that equator.
That's right. It's summertime down there, isn't it, buddy?
All year round.
Anyway, buddy, we're glad that you and Alice are with us today, too. Come dismiss us in prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this church family here, and we just pray that you bless it greatly during this Christmas holiday. Lord, just let this church be a light, a candlestick for this community, a place where they can come and find you, the gift from God, the living Savior. Lord, we just ask you to bless us and keep us. And we just ask you to be with each and every person here. Be with Brother Rogers and others as they're going through medical issues, Lord. Be with those who couldn't make it today because of their health. Just let them know that we are with them spiritually, and that just hold all of our brothers and sisters up in prayer. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.